Hi, this is Kate from ADHD Kids Can Thrive, and today my guest is David Shen. He's a certified holistic coach. David's coaching passion stems from a love for helping people and seeing them grow and thrive. He coaches the body, mind, and spirit together for optimal insight and results. David attempts to meld many different modalities into his sessions, ranging from evidence-based to the esoteric, and his techniques span traditional coaching to movement to energy. You can find more about David at coachdshen.com. Thank you for being here, David. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Let's start from the top. What moved you into becoming a certified holistic coach?
Well, I first moved into coaching in general, more from the health side of things. I was very curious about just simply weight loss and what kept weight off. But then moving into then nutrition coaching, I realized that a lot of chronic illnesses are caused by what we put in our mouth, which then led me to health coaching and functional medicine. And then ultimately to broaden it to just life coaching, which is both in the personal and also in the workplace. So because your mental health and your well-being is really governed by everywhere you are in life and not just outside of work or inside of work. And then realizing that traditional talk coaching was good and great and got people to places, but it also seemed to be lacking in a few places too, which led me to then thinking about the body's relationship to coaching, as well as how your spirit is involved too, what you believe in, and whether it's a higher energies, universe, religion, all that kind of thing play into that kind of thing.
Right, right. So that's why I was kind of really interested in talking to you, because a lot of what you're talking about is kind of bringing the mind, body, and the spirit together. And I think in my case, when you're parenting a child with ADHD, and this podcast is about raising children with ADHD, that a lot of the techniques that are out there right now kind of ignore or don't pay too much attention to what's happening to a child when it comes to their body and their spirit. And it just primarily gets focused on their mind. So I find this holistic coaching approach like really interesting for adults, but also for parents who are trying to support their children in a more holistic way. So let's start. So what is holistic coaching?
Yes. So a lot of I'll start with the mind part of that. A lot of coaching techniques come from traditional therapy and clinical psychology, psychiatry, that kind of thing. So you'll meet a lot of therapists that seem or behave a lot like coaches. And then you'll meet some that completely don't play like coaches too. But a lot of our techniques come from there, and they work, they do really well. But then you can get added benefit by looking at the body's relationship. So sometimes our bodies react to emotions. You may have heard of the book, The Body Keeps the Score.
Yeah.
That's a great, great book. And now there's a lot of talk about intergenerational trauma and how things are carried through generations. And so a lot of that can be burned into our nervous system, into our cells. And we have to respect that. And sometimes full recovery or full kind of movement towards your desired state can't happen until we address what's happening in the body. Another thing that's cool about it is sometimes you're going through traditional talk therapy, talk coaching with someone, and they can't seem to get out, you know, what's going on inside, right? How they're feeling or anything like that. Well, we can actually inquire into a client through their body and where they're feeling. Like, do they have tension in the shoulders? Do they feel a tightness in their chest when they are bringing that situation back into the consciousness, for example? And once we do that, then we can like, oh, you know, what's behind that tightness in your chest when you think of this situation? And oftentimes insight can come that way. So that's very exciting as well. So finding, getting awareness of what's going on inside them, and then actually addressing it in part, if not the whole solution, or it could be even a missing part of that solution.
Okay, so a holistic coach kind of works with the body and how the body is connected to trauma in the mind?
That's right.
Am I doing that right? So Gabe Mate, too, is all over social media and the world really talking about how kind of the root of someone having ADHD is some sort of trauma. And that ADHD is kind of more trauma-based than we realize, right? And so if you think about how the ADHD person too, especially those who have, who physically exhibit signs of ADHD through, you think of like a hyper young boy, I guess, or the kids who can't sit still, right? So it's like, as the body, it's their central nervous system is being exhibited, not only in their mind, but in their physical presence too. So my question is, so does a holistic coach work on the body to help make that connection? Like, are you physically working with somebody, like hands-on?
We could. For instance, I'm actually in a year-long shamanic Reiki training right now, and Reiki is traditionally done hands-on with someone. And a lot of the stuff we've been finding that, yeah, traditionally it was done hands-on and with someone in your presence, and certainly things can be done, and I can talk about some of the kinesiology stuff that I've learned too, which is really exciting and effective. Those have to be hands-on, right, in okay. person, right? Now, I've also, because of the pandemic, we all started coaching on Zoom and working with people on Zoom. I've also doubled down on ways of doing this across video, right? So we don't have to be in presence with somebody.
Okay.
And it also led me down esoteric methods too, where how can we sense the energy of what's going on in the person in front of us in video without having to be there, right? So we don't have to, you know, be in their person and in their presence, but we can still see and also affect them. There's distance healing techniques that can happen. And some of those are deployed in my coaching as well.
Okay.
So those are
what would be distance healing, like breathing, meditation? What are?
Yeah, I would say the distance healing I'm referring to is an energetic one. And okay. that there's a lot we can say about how energies are all connected in the universe and how we can kind of send that energy, healing energy, in different places.
Yeah.
So it's along those lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you feel like your clients benefit from that?
Yeah, it's been an amazing journey on those kind of disciplines when I use them. Like if I have a Reiki session with people, I've seen amazing results happen with them. So I'd highly encourage anyone to go experience a Reiki session. First, yeah. There's maybe a mindset you should go into it with, which is believing that it will work and that you're open and accepting to whatever happens. Oftentimes people will go into those with this kind of disbelief that it won't work, like, oh, this is hogwash or whatever. So make sure you go in with an open mind, an open spirit, an open heart, and just let it happen.
Okay. Yeah. And if you're not open to it or you're skeptical, can you still have positive results?
In theory, yes. But I would say there's something in our kind of line of work, we call blocks to healing. And this is a very broad topic, but oftentimes our own mindset can stop us from healing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that doesn't matter what kind of healing we're talking about. We're talking about even traditional conventional medicines you might get, and literally it's not working. You're like, but research, blah, 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 all this says it's supposed to work, and this person's not responding to it. Or even getting better.
Yeah, because they're blocked. Okay. So can I just ask you, for like a young person who's under 18, a child, let's say their parents want to help them heal their body to help them connect to their mind better. And a child, very much, they have ADHD. They just are who they are, right? They don't necessarily, as a child, processing their differences from society at that point. I mean, hopefully not. Maybe some children have realized that they're sticking out or different than their peers at a very early age. But can you do Reiki with a child who's young?
Oh, yes, Reiki for sure.
Okay.
Although that's, it's something that I learned as a addition, right, to the coaching. There is a way to coach with the introduction of Reiki energy. So it isn't the only way that I do it.
Okay.
But I bring it up as an example of being able to work with someone across Zoom and still have great results with it.
Yeah. Okay.
May I also comment about what you said? So my experience with children who have these kind of difficulties, behavioral problems of all sorts of different sorts, whether it's diagnosed or not officially, is that they are very aware of their place in their community, right? There's something inside them that knows, yeah, I'm different, right? Or I'm not the same, right? Or I am not being able to communicate with these other kids who are my age, and I want to be friends with them, but for some reason it's just not working.
Right.
So I would say that.
Okay. I'll give you that. I agree.
Yeah. I would say that there is some awareness to that, and the difficulty, and also potentially, I would even say going to the extent of trauma creating is, right, they're trying, right? And they can't do it, right? And they don't understand why they can't do it. And that's where some additional things may come in, where they may start feeling that they're different from society, that they'll never make it, right? They'll never be able to make friends. They won't be able to succeed in life, and all, you know, they'll have lowered self-esteem, lowered self-worth. If things either don't improve or they don't find kind of some resolutions, those kind of things. So yeah, those are things that, of course, we as parents, we never want to have in our children, and that we would love to do things to hopefully alleviate those and set them on a more positive path, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think I too, when I mean that they are who they are, I think because they're young, they haven't figured out, they know they're different, but they haven't figured out how to forge their own path to become who they are, right? It's kind of they have to learn how to be who they are.
Oh yeah, as right? any child, so or even as adults sometimes,
yes.
we're 30, 40 years old, we're trying to forging our path. Yep,
yeah,
for sure.
And it's difficult. Okay, so tell me, we kind of are tapping into that, like how holistic coaching could benefit a child with ADHD, or how can it benefit a parent who could help their child with ADHD?
The majority of my clients are adults. So I've had a number of them with difficult situations with kids and trying to manage that. A lot of it is, if we're talking about the adult, then there could be something there that's triggering them in terms of being able to take care of a child that's misbehaving or getting in a certain way. So we address those. And if we're talking about holistic coaching, usually first thing I try is the kind of mind side of things and see if there's something that can be resolved very quickly that way. And if it's not, or if they immediately say, oh yeah, man, I got something in my gut starting to hurt or whatever, then I may jump to a more kind of body focused kind of coaching. So what that looks like, there's many actually different ways of utilizing what we call somatic and body kind of coaching. There's, for example, there's a book that written by Louise Hay called Heal Your Body. And basically it's a book full of mappings of, if this person has a problem with this organ or this body part, then there's the typical psychological reason for that. And it's fascinating to be able to just say like, oh, my foot hurts. Like, oh, let's go to the foot thing and look it up. And they have these things, which you can use to, as a coach, to inquire, or whether to yourself, but as a coach, I can inquire to my client. Oh, so is the, you know, I'll use a real example, which I remember, which is, oh, my shoulders are always tight. I go, oh, you look it up in the book and says, oh, there seems to be the weight of the world on your shoulders. You know, how does that resonate with you? Right. Which then leads to usually a conversation like, oh my God, I have so many responsibilities. I got my husband, my wife, and but, you know, the work and all this stuff on top of that, right? It's like, that can be.
Feel like the weight of the world. Yeah.
The weight of the world. Okay. Yeah. It's like, and then we kind of go, well, how can we release the weight of the world from your shoulders? How might that happen?
Okay.
So that's one easy way. Other way would be something like, oh, there's some chronic illness that seems to be in you. Like maybe you have a heart problem. Maybe you have some ache in your side or some shoulder that's super tight all the time, right? Then and if it wasn't so clear as kind of look it up and heal your body, then we may even take them into a meditative state where we go, okay, focus your attention on the organ, right, the kidney or whatever that hurts or you have problems with, what is it saying to you now, right? And we engage their subconscious and their imagination, visualization powers to kind of bring out what's going on in there, right? And oftentimes it could be some emotion that's stuck there. And once we release that emotion, then oftentimes we see resolution in these physical things that are happening inside them, as well as kind of in their brain and their emotions and that kind of thing up top. And I'll throw one other way out there. For example, a lot of people experience overwhelm, right? Too many options. Oh my God, I worry about the future, but all this stuff. And I go, oh, well, that sounds like your brain's kind of running at 100 miles an hour. It's like, it feels like a ship without a rudder. It's like, what if you were to just sit for a second and drop down to your heart and your gut, see what they say at this moment of all the stuff up top. Mm-hmm. And usually the heart will say something like, oh, it's no problem. You got this. Why are you like worrying about all this stuff? And then they realize, oh, I guess I really don't have to worry about anything.
And it's can be that simple sometimes.
Yeah, because we often disconnect because it's in our society, we think that the head is everything.
Yeah.
We will be able to think our way out of every single problem and that we can just PhDs, yes, research, blah, 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 all that stuff is going to solve the world's problems. Well, it doesn't seem like it, I guess.
Yeah, we think we can control everything, right?
That's,
I think,
right.
We have control over things. What about, okay, so there's a lot of connections with, especially with ADHD, the digestive problems, the gut, heal your gut and you'll heal your brain. What is your thought about that connection?
Yeah, we're probably getting a little bit beyond coaching, but I'm a big believer that, how should I put it? In certain circles I run in, we call it stabilizing, creating a stable state and stabilizing the terrain, right? Basically the environment, okay? So that's part of that is, well, what are you putting in your mouth, right? That goes down to your gut, right? Let's say it happens to be sugar, right? It, in a more naive world, we may think, what's wrong with candy bars and cakes and cookies and stuff like that? You can put it in your mouth, you don't fall dead, so it's a nutrient, right? We've got all this kind of programming from years and years of marketing and all sorts of stuff. We don't see anything wrong with that. Oh, it's birthday, right? Cultural, right? It's like, it's your birthday. How can you not have a birthday cake? Oh my God, right? It's like, you got to have a birthday cake. But you know, research is showing like, you start putting that into your mouth, your gut microbiome starts getting disrupted. There's the entero nervous system, right? It's just, it's also related to the other nervous systems that we got. And the gut literally is telling your brain, it's like, I need sugar right now. And if you don't get it, I'm going to throw yourself out of whack. So a lot of these things are about creating that stable state and removing all these potential influences. And there are a ton, right? There are heavy metal toxins. There's the environment. There's electromagnetic fields we could talk about. There's bacterial infections are really huge. And one that is not really recognized by the conventional medical community. Like Lyme disease, for example, is not even like a medical condition still these years.
And there's a lot of people with Lyme disease, right?
It's more and more,
yeah.
As time goes on, that people are finding, oh, that is actually Lyme going on, not just something genetic, which is the intellectual explanation for some of this stuff.
Right.
Epigenetics, right? Do we need to clear intergenerational trauma or things from like generations past that we may have to kind of clear potentially, that those might need to be done, worked on as well in there.
And can a holistic coach work on those generational traumas?
Yeah, there's certain trainings that you can go to. There's internal family systems, there's family constellations. There's a bunch of people working in that area. It's very fascinating work. I've been to a couple sessions and seen some really interesting and great stuff happen in those. There's definitely stuff out there. Some of the shamanic stuff I'm doing right now also can address that too. So shamans can actually do that work as well. So if you have
Okay.
on that. So there's many different ways to get at it. And certainly certain clinicians as well are trained in kind of taking you into the past and dealing with it that way. So there's many different ways of tackling that kind of issue.
Okay. So if somebody wanted to find a holistic coach, how would they do that and make sure they're like properly trained and certified and able to provide all of these great support systems that you're talking about today.
Yeah, so that's tough. So this gets to something that
I'm just thinking about. If you're listening to this conversation, you're like, okay, I want to explore a holistic coach to help me or my family, right? Do better. Like, let's say you're booked up, Dave. So like, how does somebody go about finding someone who's the real deal?
It's tough. I think it's very much like your journey to find a therapist, right? Or a clinician or a doctor, the right one. You may need to try out a bunch of things. You may have heard like, oh, internal family systems. Okay, I'm going to go on the website, look for a certain person. That system might be the right system for you, but maybe you didn't find the right practitioner. So you may need to shop around a little bit. Referrals are always great for that. Just asking around, reading reviews, all that kind of thing, it really helps. Always got to watch out for the hucksters that are out there, because a lot of people are charging a ton of money for a lot of things that, well, it might work for you or might not work for you. So, but be prepared in most cases to spend quite a few dollars exploring, seeing which one works for you and who you have rapport for, right? That's really important too, is the person you engage with, you got to have some kind of trust, right? Basic trust for, because if that's not there, it doesn't matter what the system is, it's not going to work for you.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes time to build trust, right?
That's right.
So you got to, so it's kind of a little bit of a dance of finding the right person and then hanging in there with them for a little bit.
Yep. And you may find that you'll get to certain place and then it'll stop, right? Or the healing will plateau. Then it's time for you to potentially look for someone else, right? And keep adding on to it, researching. Like, this is one thing I talk about in a lot of clients, is never losing hope, right? The world is broader than you think. Just because you went to one person who said they could take on every single thing in the world and it didn't work for you, it's like, that doesn't mean that there isn't somebody or something out there that can help you. So you just got to keep going and keep looking and knowing that there is a place for you and healing for you, or in this case, maybe your child too. And that got to keep looking, because it is out there. I guarantee it.
Yeah. And I think the world is turning too, where we know, especially for ADHD kids, there's definitely more you can do to support your child besides medication and therapy, which is kind of what the prescription has been.
That's
for
right.
A very long time. And that's not true. There's a lot of additional things you can do to support a person who is struggling with ADHD, and whether that's includes anxiety and depression and trauma, there's other things you can do, as you're helping us explain. Okay. So help me. So a lot of kids with ADHD have a part that can be very painful inside families, is children who are impulsive or have a hard time regulating their emotions. So how can a holistic coach support a child or a parent who's helping with those aspects of ADHD? I'm really interested in like the somatic piece. Like, how can that contribute in a positive way to a child who's struggling with those things?
Yeah, a lot of times their nervous system is really amped up and it's going on overdrive. And whatever we can do to calm that down and put them in a healing state is often some of the most therapeutic things you can do. And there are ways, for example, to turn on the vagus nerve, which, like, there's one technique I know, takes 2 minutes, right? It's like, so if we can get our child to do that, then you may find that afterwards, because their vagus nerve is turned on, that activates the parasympathetic nervous system and kind of creates a better state. You may find that they have a lot more calmer state. They may be more focused. Whatever's kind of going on inside them is kind of quieted a little bit. Of course, the more often you do that, the more it turns on and more healing can happen. So potentially challenges to get folks, not only necessarily kids, but also adults, right, remember to do these, as well as doing them regularly. So whatever strategy you have there, whether it's calendaring or alerts or those kind of things, to kind of do this on a regular basis is always a good thing. Here's one that's is always a good thing, right? Getting out in nature is always a good thing, right? That has a good positive reaction to your body. I know at a public school that we were involved in, they had a garden and they found that actually kids with behavioral problems would actually be much better after they sent them out to work on the garden for an hour.
Right? So, amazing, right?
Just simply that. So being outside, being in nature, looking at the wondrous plants and animals and insects and whatever in the little garden is just therapeutic.
Very calming.
Yeah. Now there are more sophisticated things that you could do and they can be learned by parents and can be done to help their children. Things like tapping has been a real big one. So tapping has been around for a long, long time, and it's you don't have to be a clinician to learn it. You can kind of go to a website and just kind of pick it up, but with a course. You basically tap on sites on your body that relate to the meridians in the Chinese medicine system. Mm-hmm. And so if you tap on, depending on the system you learned, there are certain sequences, like if someone's feeling frustrated or angry or uptight or whatever, there's a certain sequence of tapping that you find that you go through, and that will calm
down. And does that work?
I have been truly amazed at what it can do. And I actually learned a form of it that engages coaching alongside it called mental field tapping. So I actually use it across Zoom with clients, and I've been able to remove negative limiting beliefs with it and do it in one session. Yeah, and see it stick too, which is super exciting to see that. Whereas a traditional method would be like journaling for 10 days, 30 days, you know, straight. Negative, then turn them to positive, you say them, vocalize it, that kind of thing. But to see something happen like within a 30 or an hour long session is just super exciting.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so I have a teenage boy, right? He's not going to journal for 30 days enlighten himself, but he might try tapping.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. And I would think that that's true for a lot of ADHD people, because they have building habits can be difficult, staying consistent, right? So that's interesting insight to look into the tapping versus, you know, having to journal every day for 30 days to kind of create some relief.
Yep,
okay, hot tip.
Yeah, and then some of this could be, as parents, right, getting better at our detective work into figuring out, well, what's going on here exactly? Not to take it as face value, that is just, oh my God, I can't do anything about it, but really understand what's going on here. I had a situation where there was trouble at school and I was trying to dig into what was going on here. And it turned out that this person did not believe they could make friends, right? I thought it was about, you know, the teachers or not liking the work or something like that. That's the kind of thing that you would have seen on the outside, but that was the real thing.
And so interesting.
Using this mental field tapping, unwound that. And the next day he went to school and had a great day at school.
Okay, great.
I know, I was pretty amazed at that. So, so it's great stuff like that you can learn. There's also, you can even learn the kinesiology. There's places to learn that where you kind of get at, well, a child who's unable or unwilling to really express what's internal to them.
Yeah.
And it's like a lie detector. They cannot hide from the muscle testing. So.
Oh, okay. So what's the muscle testing? Tap on your muscles? Is that what that is?
Traditional muscle testing, there's a bunch of different ways of doing it that range from esoteric methods like pendulums and divining rods and those kind of things. But also the one I learned engages just testing the nervous system response to you putting weight on an arm and whether or not the arm can react and be strong or what does it weaken in terms of some input you give to the person. Like you give them some belief like, I do not believe I am capable of making friends, right? And then they go weak, like, oh, that's it.
Okay.
Right, kind of thing.
So you can test them. Physically, yes. To see where they're having blocks in their self-esteem.
Yep. Right? Or whatever limiting beliefs that they may have.
The limiting belief. Okay. That's great. Okay. Yeah,
and then using the tapping, we can actually use that as the starter point and then change to something we do want them to believe. Like, you know, even though I don't believe I can make friends, right? I am willing to try, right? Or I am willing to go out there and keep trying, right? So something right. like that, right? Something that's even though this, and then a positive kind of result that we desire. And then we tap through, use saying the statements and seeing amazing results from it.
Yeah.
And if you get good at it, then it takes maybe a 2 or 3 rounds. The first round in, you think you got it, then you kind of sense like, oh, you know, I'm not quite sure. And then you kind of alter the sentence a little bit, right? And usually by the second or third round through, I've gotten pretty good at kind of getting to the one that really resonates with them. So that's the other response that we want to see with the person is you can tell when some statement like really hits home.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds very hopeful. All right, David, we have to wrap up. So can you give us your words of wisdom for parents listening who are raising ADHD children? Like what can they do? Like what's the wisdom as a holistic coach to help their child and perhaps use somebody like yourself in a way to help their children grow up and have a good sense of themselves?
I guess my message would be don't lose hope and to keep looking for the answer and to not settle for whatever's in front of you. And just because insurance paying for it, all that kind of thing, we really got to take charge of our own health these days. And you got to really search, right, to figure out what exactly is going on. And you'd be surprised, potentially, there's something you never would have considered that was really the thing that kind of unwinds everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many things out there that are an environment that are just not healthy for us. And it's gotten worse over the years until now. And unfortunately, that means that our drinking water, do we have cell phones? Do we even have like a Wi-Fi based monitor, a camera, you know, on the kids' rooms? Like getting rid of that. I just had I'll throw a quick example out there. In one of the forums I was in, a mother posted like, "Well, my kid was having behaviors. He did not like school, blah, blah, all these behavior problems." And it turned out that all she did was move the bed from one wall to another one. Now, what was wrong with the wall that the kid's bed was against? There was the smart meter of the power company and the fuse box that was on the other side of the wall outside that this thing was transmitting, right, every 30 seconds.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. And as soon as she moved the bed away from, in fact, once she realized that the improvement was there, like, oh, she's like, wow, that her kid is a completely different kid now. Then I think she even moved him out of that room because it just was not a healthy room
right.
for anyone to be in there.
Well, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So there's all of these things in our environment that we need to pay attention. And if you modify them, I think you touched on this again, is like diet and exercise can make huge improvements in your mental health and your physical health.
Yeah. One challenging thing, for example, is if you took out all sugar from your kid's diet, I'm betting that you will see improvements. Now, in the short term is going to be
painful. Yes,
it's going to be painful, but man, it makes a big impact. It makes a big impact for sure. As well as other things, it could be gluten. It could be other things too, as well.
Yeah, we're learning a lot that food is medicine. You know, it's really becoming enlightened little by little that the American diet is not benefiting us very well. Especially our kids. Okay, David, I really appreciate this. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.